Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is August 19th, 2005. Today's session, Science and the Bible, Context, Text, and Meaning. What about the next time you open your Bible? Presented by Levon Batalden in the Fireside Room. Let's listen in.
What Christian Stendhal says, this great Lutheran theologian, says that the first question that we have to really answer for ourselves as we're engaging and trying to understand what the Bible is saying is, what did the text mean? And in order for us to get ourselves back into that period, what did it mean when it was written down, we should avail ourselves of all the science and knowledge and ways we can understand that past, so that we can try our best to understand what in fact it meant then when it was written. And it's holding that in tension with what it means to us today that leads to faithful Bible study. And the risk is that if we don't do that, we can orient our study of the Bible all around ourselves and make the Bible simply an extension of ourselves, rather than leave it as sacred text, sacred writing. And it's this tension between what did it mean and what does it mean that I think leads to faithful Bible study today. I don't know if that helps.
And we've just done a little look at it, and it's the kind of thing that we need to do, whether it's from a scientific perspective, historical perspective, or whatever your perspective is, to help you better understand what's being said and actually be able to use it for yourself. What difference does it make that we start to think about things in a little different way or some different perspectives? And so I would like you to take maybe 5 minutes on your own to think about this question. Here is the struggle to make sense today and the assumptions that we can identify that we bring to that challenge. What I'm really asking is, what are some things in our world today that you struggle with? Things that bother you, things that you think are of concern, either for you personally or for our world. As an example, a thing that I struggle with is, what does it mean to be a citizen of the United States? And what does that mean for me? What do I need to think about and struggle? So, here are some pencils, if you don't have a pencil, and you've got some space on the back side. Anybody need a pencil? It'll take about 5 minutes to come up with some ideas yourself, and then we'll talk to somebody that's sitting next to you. It's great to hear the conversation. We'll try and compile some kind of list out here and share what things we've been able to talk to tonight. And Paul can write so you can read, and I can't, so he gets to write on the board. All right. So what are some things you struggle with in the world? All right.
Sunday. The role of religion in politics.
Role of religion in politics.
Which religion?
Which politics?
Which politics?
Where?
Other things.
Yeah.
Say that. So I wrote on my list, if Bush is a Christian, what am I?
He writes pretty fast, so you can call out other things.
Too small.
We got quite a few people. You have to write a little bit bigger.
Okay. War.
War.
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Did you write
more?
Did you not write that?
More.
No,
war.
War.
Yeah.
Terrorism.
Suffering.
healthcare.
The constant voice of more.
There you go.
Unemployment.
The environment.
Unkindness.
Loss of relationship because of all of these walls we're building up.
Tortured or oppressed groups of people.
Loss of freedom. Authority.
Anxiety about how it makes sense of life. How does everything hang together?
Raising kids in but not of the world.
Rootlessness and disconnect from family.
Technology.
Isolationism, or individualism, however you put that, and community.
Sort of the use of communication to mislead rather than to inform.
Disinformation.
Yeah, disinformation, yeah.
Sound the same, right?
Mm-hmm. Christian response to vocalization.
Came up in our group that the imbalance in the way resources and things are in the world. Yeah. Well, I think we can pretty much solve these now. So it, we are not without some struggles. Now what I'd like us to do is take, again, first yourself for maybe 5 minutes, and then what are some themes that come out of the Bible that are important to you? What, as you think about what the Bible has to say to you, think maybe some themes that we brought up this week, but not doesn't have to be based on this week, but what are some, what do you think the Bible has to say? What are some general things that are important to you in how you live your life? What are some things, some ideas of the Bible that you think we need to remember when we're trying to deal with these struggles in our own life? Right, ready to talk in small groups for a couple minutes and share some ideas,
sure.
And then we'll make a list again. Conversation.
conversation going on. So here we have a very big, long list of things that we struggle with, but let's see how if we can come up with some insights and things that the Bible give us that might give us some insight into these problems. You'll notice that the line up there is not a solid line, but that what we have on one side ought to be able to have some impact on what's on the other side. So, what did you come up with?
Sermon on the Mount.
Sermon on the Mount. So there's some fairly practical kind of guidelines that are given there. Again.
Ooh. Huh.
Okay. Even when the technology is low.
Freedom or liberation.
Change.
Change.
Rebirth, revival, surprise.
Sonia and I were sitting side by side, and without copying from each other's paper, you wrote Abundant Life, and I wrote Life Abundant.
Okay.
And, well, Jesus, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And then the prophets, the Psalms, the wisdom literature, the Gospels help us to understand what that
abundant life is.
Love? Or did you copy from my?
Yeah. Grace to make mistakes.
Justice.
So forgiveness, when we put that in grace to make mistakes, is that?
No, make it something too.
Mm-hmm. And that God does unexpected things and works in unexpected ways.
Community.
Call to discipleship.
Life is a gift.
I've been waiting for so long for me to die.
God is a generous God.
There's one God.
God present, especially in the cross. Fear not.
God heals.
We are all unique and special.
God's creation is good, or God is doing good in the world. Let's rest.
We're stewards.
Peacemakers.
We are Easter people.
Salt of the earth.
Children of God.
Long-suffering.
pages on this side. You're late to these.
Salt of the earth, where we are here to try to make a difference and to bring God's presence among all of us.
Yes, that we got over here, yeah.
Well, making sense of life, that we are children of God and that He loves us all.
Well, on one side you have war and terrorism, and on the other side you have peacemakers.
Yeah.
And justice.
Yeah. And that fear not and terrorism.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, that we live in such fear.
I think the words of the Sermon on the Mount take care of the whole thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things in that too.
Yeah. Much as I don't understand it all.
Yeah.
And much as I don't probably live by it like I should, it's still are the words that would take care of many of us today.
I also see the tie between the present, God is present, or on the cross, or the whole theology of the cross, God present in brokenness and among us. And then, so that sort of puts God in the midst of these problems that we live with. But yet, in the midst of that, then, we're called to live an abundant life or live as Easter people. And to me, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And that even if we haven't figured out solutions to these, that God's there with us. and He's suffering with those who suffer. And the abundant life in the midst of suffering, pain, and unrest, to me, is also an important message, that it isn't that we've got it all figured out that means abundant life, but there's this richness of being loved that...
Makes me think of a book a children's book we just picked up, and the question in the book is, where is God? You know, where is God in your life? And the author, in a really wonderful way, has said, God is in the people that come to you, you know, when in different situations. And I think it would help children to understand that it's not something vague and way, you know, God's not way out of our lives, but He comes to us through the people in our lives that care for us
and different.
Wipe away the tears.
Yeah.
And He continues to act in our lives that way.
I see generally on the right side the foundation for living and the authority that sends us forth to the problems that we have listed over on the left side. We all appeal to authority. I mean, even your quotes from the Pope and Stendhal are authority things. But the fundamentalist, the whole controversy that we've got listed up there in the first couple of things, and more, we live by authorities, and we choose the authorities that are most comfortable, or, you know, I don't know how we get to it, but I see an issue of authority. And one of the problems then is appealing to an inerrant scripture or an inerrant science, in your subject for the whole week. But over on this side, we learn something greater.
We go from the authority being a ruler type of person to thinking about who is the author of life and the creation.
Parker Palmer says there's an authoring dimension to authority. Just exactly what you said.
Yeah.
We have a little, thank you very much, Sloan. And I think if we can keep those two sides interacting, We might not be able to solve these problems, but we might be able to bring something to the table when we discuss them. We have a little game to play. You know, this is camp, so you got to play a little bit.
So get into groups of four. Got
to
be
four. It has to be four.
No.
You're running.
You're running.
Yeah. Don't bring home any
clips. The TA is in charge of this one.
All right. So the first thing you do is everybody gets one of the cards. There's one clip that holds all four cards together. Don't remove any of the other clips. Each one, take one of the clipped black cards. All right? Now, you're not to take any of the other clips off, but you're to study what you can see through the hole in the black paper.
Do this again.
You're to look at what you see through the hole. Okay, we just remove one of the clips that holds all these things together, and then everybody gets one.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you're supposed to say what you see through the hole in the black paper. What do you see? Don't peek. What do you see through the hole? And you want to be able to describe that in writing to yourself. So be good empiricists. Now, I mean, this week has been about science in part. So empiricists look at something and they describe what they see. So describe exactly what you see through the little cut in the black paper that you see. Okay? Make little notes to yourself about this. Now, two people have the identical cuts. You two should caucus. All right. And now the other two caucus. All right. Compare notes and sort of help each other. Okay, now compare amongst the four of you. Now compare amongst the four of you. Okay, now take the clips off. Take the clips off. And have your comparison now. What? Take the clips off. See what was actually there. Okay, so what was it like? So what was it like when you were working by yourself and when you were working with two and when you were working with four? What was the difference? What were the differences when you worked alone, when you worked with two, and when you worked with all four?
When I worked alone, I was right.
There's always one like that. There's always one like that. How about when you worked with two?
We were agreed.
That was good.
Huh?
Confirmed that.
Did it help? Was it easier to get information from two when they were the same or when they were different? The purpose of this exercise is to make us conscious of the frames we use when we look through those frames and the benefit of multiple frames to get a better understanding of what it is we're trying to look at.
Very good.
Thanks.
And prior knowledge can be helpful. I mean, they looked at this picture and figured out that it was a Van Gogh painting. But then she also said, but I thought it was going to be a burning bush because of the theme of the week. So sometimes prior knowledge is really helpful in figuring things out, but if you've got too narrow a background, then you are assuming things that don't turn out to be the case. So. Thank you so much for this week. I appreciate your coming. So.